Welcome to the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and this is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And with me right now is an author, is a doting grandfather, is an educator, is a scholar, is a swell dancer as well, is Eddie Papowski's number one fan, a true renaissance man. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It is Tom Raffio. Tom, hello.
Thank you, Jay. And I'm telling you, since the world's opened up a few months ago and I find myself making presentations and being on the road a lot the last two or three months, got to bring you everywhere for an introduction. No better introduction than that. But another man who needs no introduction is Rick Bernard, who is the executive director of Building Community in New Hampshire. Many people probably know Rick when he was the vice president of policy at New Hampshire Community Loan Fund, and before that, worked for Harvard University for the Center for the Environment. Rick, long time no see, long time no hear. Glad you're doing well. Good morning, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Excellent. And this, I know, in preparing for the show, this is going to be a compelling show, Building Community in New Hampshire, and we'll get into that. But I think it's always good to sort of level set the listening audience to give us a brief background on how you became the executive director of Building Community in New Hampshire. But what is actually Building Community in New Hampshire?
BCNH, Building Community in New Hampshire, is a nonprofit organization. We're based in Manchester and we work statewide to help refugees in New Hampshire navigate their way to safe, prosperous, healthy, and connected lives here in New Hampshire. So we're part of the resettlement network that works with refugees here. And how did I get here? Well, I was lucky. I was looking for work at the same time that the organization was looking for a new executive director. As a New Englander, and really almost a native New Hampshireite, I didn't know much about refugee resettlement. And I've learned a ton in the last 3 years. I get to work with these fine people. Your screen showing my staff, a picture from our website. We've got four people working for us now. Hussein Amiri is a refugee originally from Afghanistan by way of Pakistan. Eric Irakiza came to the United States as a refugee from Democratic Republic of Congo. You see there Indira Acharya, who was originally from Bhutan by way of Nepal. She's actually left, but been replaced by Manju Gurung, also from Bhutan. And then Joyeuse Kwizera, who came as a refugee from Democratic Republic of Congo. That's us. BCNH hires people like these four to work with other people who have come as refugees. All four of these folks speak great English and they have 10 other languages between them. It's amazing. And so they're able to help people make it in New Hampshire.
No, I know it was originally founded in about 2009 by a group of refugees in Bhutan and originally called the Bhutanese Community of New Hampshire. But I'm assuming you've broadened. So tell us about that.
Sure. So you're right, Tom. In 2009, New Hampshire saw a wave of refugees from Bhutan. Bhutan's this little country high up in the Himalayas that had essentially expelled all of the people in the country from an ethnic or a cultural minority who spoke Nepali. And tens of thousands of Bhutanese were living in refugee camps in Nepal and India for decades, I mean, 20 to 30 wow. years. And finally, the United Nations helped most of those people move to other countries. And quite a few thousand came to the United States and about 2,000 came to New Hampshire. And among them were a group of really talented and well-connected, educated young men at the time who created a self-help organization here called the Bhutanese Community of New Hampshire. And they helped everybody learn the language, get jobs, eventually become citizens. And they were so successful that they were a model for other communities like this around the country. And they decided in 2017 to change the name and provide the same kind of service to refugees from all over the world who are here in New Hampshire. And that's when we changed BCNH Bhutanese Community to Building Community in New Hampshire.
Wow. What a great story. And of course, in 2021, the New Hampshire Center for Nonprofits awarded you the Nonprofit Impact Award. We'll circle back to that. I know that, you're very proud of that, but you don't do all this great work, you know, to win awards, although it is the nice sort of icing on the cake. So the usual typical New Hampshire listening audience question I get is, well, how is the organization funded? And if you need funding, this is a great chance for you and I to put out our olive branches and extend a funding request.
Well, thanks. I love that question, Tom. Thanks. We have a variety of funding sources. Some state contracts. We work on contract with the New Hampshire Department of Health and Human Services to provide a range of services for new Americans. We've recently had a contract with the Department of Business and Economic Affairs to do job training work. And some private foundation grants, including, I'm pretty pleased to say, Northeast Delta Dental Foundation is funding a project where we're trying to improve oral health for Congolese kids. And I'm really excited about that. The Charitable Foundation, the Healthy Children Foundation, organizations that see a purpose in what we do, they're trying to improve the life of everybody here in New Hampshire. And of course, individual donations from individuals. We've really worked hard to diversify our funding streams, we're doing well. Our annual budget's close to $400,000 a year. So we're still actually fairly small as nonprofit organizations go. I'm the only management staff. As I said, I'm really fortunate to have a great team. We have a board of directors. 9 of the 11 members are either former refugees or immigrants themselves. So we're, when people talk about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, we're it. We have a wonderfully diverse community working with us, and pleased to have support from all over. And if anybody wants to give, we're always welcome to, glad to receive gifts. Go to our website, bcinnh.org.
That's bcinnh, all one word, .org. And you can, we can tell you how to get involved as well as how to donate. So I know this is probably timely, given that it's been about 1 year since the United States left Afghanistan and obviously the Ukrainian war. So are you getting involved with Afghans and Ukrainians?
Yes. And it is, this is really what we do. We focus on refugees. There are lots of people come to the United States in many different ways. And the refugees are brought here by the State Department in a very formal process. And that's most of our constituency. The Afghans arrived as evacuees. They didn't go through that normal refugee camp thing. Right. They came directly from the country in a hurry. And about 200 came to New Hampshire. And as soon as it was obvious that they were going to be here, we reached out to hire somebody to help us help them. And we were really fortunate to find Hussein Amiri, who was living in Concord. He had grown up here really from junior high on, and he wanted to help. We've been very active with the Afghan community. And they're doing pretty well. Almost right away, 50 or so left New Hampshire to be with cousins and uncles and brothers in other parts of the country. When, you know, people should remember, once a refugee or an evacuee is here, they're free to go wherever they want.
Right.
And many do, because this is actually a pretty tough state to make it if you're a relatively low-income household. A lot of families leave when they can. Part of our job is to help them find ways to stay. But about 150 people are here. We've been doing a lot to help them get jobs.
So let's stay on that topic. So yeah. Obviously, you know, real estate and so forth, that is a difficulty. But do you think in general, and this is, you know, it's a generalization, but do you think the new American immigrants feel welcomed in New Hampshire, albeit maybe struggling economically?
Yeah, I do. And I that's actually something we might want to talk about over the after the break. Are you ready to break? But it's a really profound question. And the short answer is yes.
All right. Well, so Jay, in the business, we call that a radio tease. Just want to let you know. So we'll start with that question after you take us through commercial break, Jay.
Sounds good. This is Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. And Tom Raffio, the president and CEO and host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, has Rick Menard of Building Community in New Hampshire. This is really good, talking about refugees and as a way of not only just getting the American dream, but also education and all that comes with that in the American dream, coming to America from a place of crisis, such as you alluded to, Tom and Rick, recently Afghanistan and, of course, Ukraine. And we will return after this here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Welcome back. It is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, alongside Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, as well as Rick Menard from Building Community in New Hampshire. And this is a great discussion talking about building community in New Hampshire. So, gentlemen, take it away for part two.
Absolutely. So, first of all, Rick, thank you for your great work. I think there can be no more compelling work, you know, than the integration of new American immigrants. So thank you. And I was also fascinated that, you know, you have learned a lot in the process. So before we get back to that question we were ending with before the break about do new Americans seem happy in New Hampshire and do they feel welcome? Tell us, what is the one thing that has surprised you when you took over this responsibility? I mean, did you go in with an assumption? And then, oh my God, it's completely different. Tell us one thing that you've learned now that you're totally hands-on and are right in the front lines of, you know, the new American immigrants.
That's a great question, Tom. And I think, you know, having grown up here, I grew up in Cheshire County, very white. You know, New Hampshire is still a very white state, but what I've learned is that it's not so white as I thought it was. It's an increasingly diverse state. Certainly Manchester, Concord, Nashua are diverse cities, but even beyond those three metropolitan areas, the state's changing. And I think it ties back to the other question. I think New Hampshire as a whole is really embracing that change. That's an encouraging lesson for me to learn. We've had enormous support, and I get calls every week from employers who say, "We understand you work with new Americans, with refugees. We want to employ them. Can you help us recruit?" And we do. Believe me, people all over the state want more workers, you know that, and there every refugee in New Hampshire who wants to work is working at least one job. So I can't just dial up a supply, but we're able to help people find work and employers find employees.
Well, that intersection of the workforce challenges, because you're right, Rick. Every CEO I talk to in every sector, there's a workforce shortage. So I think that intersection with that economic reality with the influx of new American immigrants certainly will, you know, be helpful. And the other point you made about we are becoming increasingly diverse. I know when I was chair of the State Board of Education, and we would actually host board meetings, statewide board meetings in the Manchester school districts. There were literally dozens of different languages spoken. And I recently had one of our prior guests a couple of weeks ago was on Manchester Proud, and which is the organization, nonprofit, that's trying to elevate and enlarge and expand the beauty of what could be a great Manchester school system. And they were pointing out again, you know, the number of dialects and languages spoken. And I know right here in Concord, you know, I mentor a gentleman named Ali Siko, who's from Niger, and there is a wonderful community, and they have a nice mosque, and so it's a lot more diverse, although obviously, you know, not necessarily, you know, the most, you know, diverse, you know, state in the country, but certainly we've come a long way. So let's get back to that question. So while some people do leave after they settle, and they sometimes maybe have, you know, not workforce, but housing challenges. Are you feeling the ones that do stay are relatively happy, and again, do they feel welcome?
I think so. Racism is everywhere. We know that, but I think most of the people I work with tell my staff that they're glad they're here. And I've been in meetings where people will go through that list of problems: transportation, housing, language. And if I ask them, but are you happy here? They say, yes, I'm glad I'm here. I feel safe here. I'm glad my kids are here. Can I read you something? We helped with a project where new Americans took photographs of something that they cared about and then wrote a short statement. And I know most of your audience can't see this, but it's a photograph of a young man in a graduation robe outside of Concord High School. And his mom said, I took this picture so I can remember my son's graduation. He finished school. I want to remember him like that. He's going to college now and also working. This photo means happiness. At the beginning, it was very difficult for him. He was speaking Farsi and trying to learn English. But after 2 years, he can speak English and is doing well. My husband was killed when my son was 8 months old. We left Afghanistan and lived in Pakistan. I thought, forget Afghanistan now. I have 4 boys, and this is my youngest. All 4 of my children will be in college. I work to support them. My other son just got engaged. I want the community to know I've worked hard so my kids can go to college. I want my sons to know that.
What a compelling story that is. And I'm sure.
There's a set of these photos and stories. So many are about loss, grief, and hope. And I think that's what people bring to the United States with them when they come as refugees. And the hope piece is really powerful. It keeps them moving after incredible hardship.
Absolutely. And I know we have an employee here, Vestine, who's transitioned here, doing so nicely. And, you know, back in her homeland was, you know, there was devastation. So it is great, you know, the hope. So the website is BCNH, one word, NH.org. And so how would you summarize the services that BCNH provides? Obviously, you know, there's language issues and healthcare and so forth, but how would you, if you were putting a schematic together orally, how would you describe the services that Building Community in New Hampshire provides?
We hire case managers who are themselves former refugees, who speak the language and understand the challenges of new Americans as when they get here, and who can help them navigate these systems that so many of us either find automatic or even difficult if you're an English speaker. But that's what we do. We help them move forward.
That, so you're a real navigator. And I'm thinking like, I've been doing healthcare since 1978 when I graduated from college, and I struggle myself with the healthcare system. And this is all I've done. And I speak the language. I can't imagine, someone landing here, maybe they're on Medicaid benefit, maybe they're not. And so how do you help them in the healthcare system?
Our staff know who to talk to. I mean, they've learned a lot. They're good facilitators of helping people sign up for the right thing at the right time at the right place. But when they've got a question, they know who to ask. And their English is strong, and they're problem solvers. So that's what they do. And believe me, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do any of it. So I'm really
well. You're leading it now. During when COVID was at its height, I know it's still here, but when sort of the world shut down and starting on March 16th, 2020, and then we had ebbs and flows, thinking we're out of it, and then it actually extended through 2021 and even into this year. Did that inhibit this process? Because I'm thinking that, some of the new American immigrants probably didn't have the ability necessarily to do a Zoom or had an iPhone. So how did that impact you, and what did you do to overcome that?
COVID was tough on new Americans, largely because they carpooled. If one person got sick, everybody would be out of work. It was really hard. My organization did more and more by phone, in-person outdoor meetings, that kind of thing. And we got through it, but it was difficult. We have staff who help people get email accounts, who train them how to use their phones to connect to the internet. It was a challenge for everybody, and it was certainly a challenge for new Americans. We got through it. And then over in 2021, we spent a lot of time making sure everybody got vaccinated. Our staff helped. They drove them to the clinics. They got them. They told them not to worry. There was a lot of fear and anxiety about vaccinations. And we're still doing that work.
Incredible. What incredible work. So as we kind of close our segment, and we could go on for another half hour, tell us about the award that I referenced early on. And again, Rick would be the first one to say he doesn't do this work to win awards, but I do want you to describe a little bit about the New Hampshire Center for Nonprofits 2021 Impact Award and why you received it.
I think of that Impact Award, we are very proud of it. It really belonged to everybody who's working in this field. There are lots of organizations that are involved with New Americans. We happen to be the one that got the award. We deserved it, but we didn't do it all by ourselves. So we're part of a bigger network.
Team approach. Again, bcnnh.org. So in 30 seconds, tell us kind of your vision for the next few years.
Well, our next challenge is certainly going to be hiring somebody to work with Ukrainians. There are 350 in New Hampshire right now. Most don't speak English. So we're going to help with that. And we'll hope to be ready for the next wave that has to move to America.
Great. Rick Bernard, thank you. Executive Director, Building Community, New Hampshire. Jay, I'll give you the final word. Very compelling, right? I mean,
absolutely. This is my first time hearing about this. And this is great awareness. This is great that the American dream happens in New Hampshire, and Rick, you play a fantastic big role in that. And you had just alluded to the amount of new Ukrainian refugees. It's going to happen. Right. In a perfect world, it doesn't, but this is far from a perfect world. We're just trying to make it a better world.
And this is a good market test, Rick, because Jay's a fixture in Concord, grew up in Concord, and didn't really have a lot of awareness of this. So that's the point of this, community radio show. So Rick Bernard, thank you. Building Community in New Hampshire.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Tom. Another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio in the books. We'll have another one for you on the Pulse of New Hampshire in the not too distant future. For Rick, for Tom, I'm J-Dog. Have a great day.